Thai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
There's been so many interesting conversations about freedom of speech lately, but these are important ones to be having. Professor Anton Harber joins us. He's a veteran journalist, editor, media analyst, and we wanted to ask him and have a conversation about the fact that late night host Jimmy Kimmel is facing backlash over remarks that he made about the murder of Charlie Kirk, later saying it wasn't his intention to make light of it. So it does raise questions about tragedy and comedy, what the ethical guardrails are, and how should public figures balance satire with responsibility, especially in the first, perhaps, raw hours after an event. Professor Anton Harber, thanks for joining us. What's the core test that you would look at here in terms of public interest, harm minimization, intent, impact? How do we balance this whole notion of maybe too soon? Give us your thoughts on it.
Look, it seems very clear to me that short of actual hate speech or promoting violence, satirists should be allowed to get on with their job. What's interesting here is the way the American right wing immediately seized on the Jimmy Kimmel case and others to weaponize the situation in an attack on free speech. So the right wing has been very vocal on their defense of free speech, but it became clear that only they were allowed to promote hatred and violence. You have to bear in mind that what Kimmel said was very mild. I don't think it was outrageous. It perhaps you could question its tastefulness, but then that is the role of comics and comedians like him.
The fact that it was the network themselves that removed him, his numbers are down. There's obviously a lot of public, there was public dissatisfaction with it. If a commercial enterprise removes somebody who either they don't think is funny or is causing them more damage or more harm than not, is that in fact an attack on freedom of expression, freedom of speech? Or is it actually just a sort of a disguise? Is it being used as that?
No, I think it's absolutely clear that Disney may have had other long-term concerns about the viability of his show, but they were reacting to pressure from the Trump administration, from the right wing really stirring up and, as I say, weaponizing the Kirk death to attack figures critical of Trump, and a direct threat from the head of the FCC, who has the power to withdraw their license. So there's no question it was a direct attack on free speech. What was interesting about it was first Disney, like so much of corporate America, collapsed and in the face of the pressure and went along with it. But partly because of the reaction and the dramatic fall in their own share price, they had a rethink and they brought him back, which I think was the main positive that came out of this. But I don't see there's anything else to say, but this was a direct attack on free speech from the Trump administration and their supporters. And Disney folded and then found some backbone and pushed back, and there's been so little pushback in America that it's become extremely concerning.
Do you think, though, that the Americans have a much, as you and I have discussed before, a much more ill-defined or hardly defined at all notion of hate speech? We've got certain measures here. Do you think that the lack of, and I'm not suggesting that what he said was hate speech at all, I'm just asking the question in a broader sense, is do you think that the lack of maybe a measure or some form of guidelines makes this potentially worse and asks the public to place pressure on something rather than giving them a legal course to follow.
As you know, the American Constitution says make no law that limits freedom of speech. So there's no law that does it. And what you have is, over the many years, Supreme Court rulings which have defined what's not acceptable. And the most basic principle there is you can't shout fire in a burning theater. Which, of course, is an oddity, because you must shout fire in a burning theater. Right. But I think the point is you can't cause panic and harm. Well, you can cause harm, but you can't cause panic and promote violence. So the restrictions there are very few, and that's accepted across the country. What you're seeing an attempt to do is to impose a view that says you can't promote violence or use hate speech unless you're us. I mean, that's what the Trumpian right wing is saying. It's utterly hypocritical, and it really needs to be challenged. And it's good that at last a corporate in the form of Disney is finally standing up to that.
It'll be very, very interesting to see where this evolves. Do you think that this is going to stand as a, not a test case per se, but as a teachable moment for the United States?
Let's hope not. Let's hope in the sense, only if there's pushback to this attempt to redefine freedom of speech to serve their political purposes. There really needs to be a pushback. We can't rely on the American Supreme Court to stand firm on these issues anymore. So it's a very worrying concern that it is being used by the Trumpians to push to try and redefine freedom of speech in a way that's incredibly harmful. You know, the U.S. was always the exemplar of free speech, of absolute free speech. And it really has stopped being that in the last few months. And that's terribly worrying for its implications for the rest of the world.
That is where we do need to leave it. It's 8:43. Professor Anton Harbor, thank you as always for bringing us that perspective.